It's 10:01 a.m. on a Monday, all at once. Your sales leader needs to know which deals are at risk. Your PM wants feature adoption by cohort, and your CFO needs one last graph for the board. Now your data team has to say no to somebody. Hex changes that. Ask any data question in plain English and get an analyst-grade response, all backed by your actual business context as defined by your data team. Start saying yes to more data questions at hex.ai.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I'm looking right now at the Eyes of Texas lyrics, Dal.
Yep.
The Eyes of Texas are upon you. Now here come the girls. That's okay, right?
I mean, sure, I guess.
In that pretty red Ford. Yeah, they're packing the girls in that pretty red Ford. And out of the engine came the flame with a name. It burned up my mind. It made me insane. The Eyes of Texas are upon you. This isn't the one they sing, is it?
I don't believe there's talk of girls. And
yeah, I'm pretty sure that's not the one.
Yeah, I don't believe that's what they hold their horns up for.
I'm pretty sure the girl coming in a pretty red. No, the Eyes of Texas are upon you. That's a different Eyes of Texas.
Yeah.
All the live long day, the Eyes of Texas are upon you. You cannot get away. Do not think you can escape them at night or early in the morn. The Eyes of Texas are upon you till Gabriel blows his horn.
Mm-hmm.
Originally a satirical song once performed at minstrel shows, which are comedic variety shows featuring white performers in blackface. So I don't think it's I think it's how it originated as opposed to any
correct
words in the song.
Correct. It is more about where it came from, and it's written to the tune of I've Been Working on the Railroad.
Right.
So yeah, the origins are the problem, not the lyrics.
Actually, Gordon said the Eyes of Texas is a satirical rendition of Confederate Commander Robert E. Lee's saying the eyes of the South are upon you.
That too as well.
Which was made popular on the UT campus by former University President William Lambden Prather. Students, as students will do, decided to make fun of that and created a satirical song that had words that were appropriate for the University of Texas. Those are the words of the song. They put in the tune of a well-known song, which was I've Been Working on the Railroad. Princeton students created the song in 1894 to insult black railroad and levee workers. The song's racist lyrics were removed as time went on. However, some historians argue that I've Been Working on the Railroad was a folk song created by either black or Irish laborers long before then. So, University of Texas, take the L. Okay?
Will they take the L?
Just another
one?
L.
Well, they're used to it. Will they take the L on this one? Will they fight?
Just another L? John, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Well, you know, did you see the list of wins over the last decade in the Big 12?
Yeah, it's long. What?
No, the wins of – but Oklahoma was first, most wins over the last decade. Oklahoma State was second. TCU was third. I forget who was – like Texas was sixth on wins – in the Big 12 of the last 10 years. I forget. I'll get the list. But congratulations. Another L for you guys. They want – the players have sent out a petition that they would like the renaming of buildings to Robert Lee Moore Hall, Robert Lee Moore Hall, Painter Hall, Littlefield Hall, and James Hogg Auditorium. It seems to me James Hogg would be a racist. I don't know. I don't know who he is. They want the Hall of Fame to include permanent black athletic history exhibit. The UT Athletics Department to donate 0.5% of their annual earnings to black organizations and the BLM movement. And the renaming of the area of the stadium after and the renaming of an area of the stadium after Julius Whittier, the first black football player at UT.
Now, players have said they will continue to do athletic stuff like workout, you know, play, right. but they will not participate in recruiting events, you know, where Texas makes their money. And they won't host athletes and they won't do fundraising.
That's kind of a big deal, by yeah. the way. Hosting athletes is a major deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can see that it'll makes be interesting some sense. To see what, you know, it'd be interesting to see because I don't think the nature of Eyes of Texas is racist. I understand the concept is that, well, if you go all the way back to this, I don't think the song was created to be racist. I do think that the big money older Longhorns are going to have a major, major, major issue. Although, you know, it's funny. I read the Twitter thread from Mike Finger. Mike Finger had, you know, had this information, and then I read the responses. And there were some positive responses, like, you know, I don't think my wife has any huge deal with it as a Longhorn. She's a big Longhorn, and as a Texas ex, I don't think she's, you know, overly offended by the players having any issues with anything like this. I do think some big money people are going to say, wait a minute now. This is a tradition that is not, we do not, this is not rooted in our racism and blah, blah, blah. It will be interesting to see if they I think a lot of these, I think they will give an affirmative on probably most of the things that the players are calling for. It's basketball, volleyball, and football players. Some members. And Caden Stearns is one of the leaders of that, who is one of their better players on defense at safety. I don't know if they'll give in. The one that's catching everyone's attention the most is the Eyes of Texas. But really, frankly, there's much, much bigger demands that will be more impactful on the campus if you've read the entire list of demands, which I have. And it will be interesting to see if they have any, if they just give in to everything or if they say, look, let's do this and let's reassess this or this. I'm kind of curious to see how that goes.
Yeah, it'll be, well, or if they'll, you know, if they will cave on some issues and not on others.
But yeah, that's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It'll be interesting that the players do, because it is kind of a big deal if the players aren't going to help recruit. I mean, we saw Deshaun and DeAndre.
We got to meet after. You got to meet and talk, though, right, John? Yeah. Isn't that the big thing, is have conversations about all this?
Well, yeah, but no. You're probably going to have to act here. I mean, you are. I mean, and if players are not telling other players to come here, or telling players don't come here by not hosting them and whatnot, it will be the demise of a program.
Well, no, because, but I'm just saying, no matter what, you need to be having conversations. This is supposed to open all of this. Forget what you see on Twitter. All of this should be opening lines of communication. One thing I've promoted, at least, is no matter what you see or hear, pick up a phone and actually talk or get together with someone who's different than you, different race, different socioeconomic, whatever the case may be. Somebody you have a difference of opinion with, Republican, Democrat. I think a lot of problems that have been exacerbated by our ability to self-isolate our opinions and only live in our own little bubbles. I think that's been the catalyst. That's been the catalyst for the demise of civility in our country, because people don't actually talk. They assume everyone, the worst of everyone. They overgeneralize. You really are going to, at some point, have to have conversations things.
In this case, though, I don't know that the players are going to want. They're going to want to see action.
Yeah,
they're going to want to see the names.
But I'm not talking about not being action. Actually, voice your concerns. Have a dialogue and voice your concerns. I'm not saying be inactive. That's not what I'm saying. Don't just put out a list and then here's what we got. See y'all later. You should still get together and have discussions between.
No, yeah.
The people at University of Texas and the athletes.
I think some people are done.
I'm sure they will.
Well, yes. I do think some people are done talking. I don't know about these particular players. I think some people will say, I've done all the talking.
But they now I
have
talking.
And now I'm in a position of power. You do this or you're going to have a problem.
Yeah, that's what it is. Well, then it turns into just a leverage situation.
I'm sure Tom Herman is going to have a big meeting with his players.
Yep.
And Finger's going to be there. And maybe even the president of the university. and they'll sit down and talk about this. I mean, obviously, if the players are going to put out a demand, well, you know what? I applaud the players. If this is something that they believe in, and you know what? Like we said a couple of weeks ago, we've never seen players more empowered than they are now. And you know what? If this does force changes in things that are that the players have issues in, and listen, every player has to put up their horns and sing the song after every game. And they're saying, we ain't doing that anymore. And you know what? Because we don't believe in that song or whatever. That's fine. You know what? This is actually kind of a good thing. And if you do have issues with these guys, those are the guys that are playing. Those are the guys that you go and watch and see. Those are the guys that have to live in that community that they don't feel comfortable maybe with Confederate statues or Confederate buildings or whatever the case may be. So this is actually kind of a good thing.
I get all that, John.
You know, Tom. Listen, Lance. Yeah. Tom Herman is going to sit down with the players and have a conversation. He is. You know that. So they're going to do that. They're going to have the conversation, and we'll see if they can't come. If they can't redo all the things that they want, we'll see if they can't redo some of them.
But my point is, there's not a. I don't agree with the concept of here's our list of demands, and see you later.
And they didn't. They're going to talk, Lance. They're going to talk.
No, I don't think they're going to. You said Tom Herman. What about the people who are the true power comes from having a voice in discussion with people who are the university president,
well, that's
the board
what I
of
said.
Regents.
I'm
not talking
about
Tom Herman, the head coach, who is going to 100% unequivocally, he must have their back 100%. There can be no discussions. You
I'm
know
sure
that, right?
I'm sure the president will be involved.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, that's right. Well, I'm sure he will be. 817 ESPN 97.5.
So,
time
Solis
to talk.
Goes, all right, well, get rid of the song. Now sign this coronavirus waiver.
Right.
All right, song's out. We've got some demands for you. It involves a waiver.
Boy, that's what Ohio State did. Yep. Time to talk about HRP, HRP.net, HRP.net. That's our guys over there, Mike Holly, and all the great people over at HRP. And speaking of the coronavirus, oh, yeah, by the way, it is real. It is still happening. In I was talking to Nick and Cindy, and they don't have a payroll company. They don't have – you got to have 15, 20, 30 employees HRMP says, you know, anything less than that, 15 employees or so, it's just probably too small. So if you've got anywhere from 15 to 20 employees to 80,000 or 100,000, whatever the case may be, HRMP can help you out. But they said, man, what a pain this unemployment, all these unemployment claims are. Well, guess what HRMP takes care of? Unemployment claims. Guess what HRMP takes care of? Affordable Care Act. Guess what HRMP takes care of? Your PPP, your small business loan, all of those things. And if your payroll company hasn't been knowledgeable, one, or responsive, two, and acted, three, if they haven't done all of these things, then you need our payroll company. And you're probably sitting in your car right now going, I didn't get great service from my payroll company. Go with ours. Call them right now. 281-880-6525. 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. So, Major League Baseball looks like it's going to, and it's the Astros' fault. Looks like Jeff Luhnow's fault. Major League Baseball can't come to terms, and they are going to go to a 48-game season. And the baseball is just baseball players have just thrown up their hands and said, forget it. We're not negotiating anymore. Just tell us our 48 games and let's go.
I did see a report where I got to find the guy who said that it won't be 48. It'll be at a minimum. It'll start with the five, the number. So he's saying at a minimum 50. It might have been Heyman who's saying he's hearing it'll at a minimum be 50 and it may be more.
Well, he can't implement. In the collective bargaining agreement, I guess at least a 48-game schedule.
Have y'all been confused at all about this whole thing? When Major League Baseball, I had to go back and double-check, because I know that there's a trigger for a minimum 48 games and all that. But when they said, you know, this has really been interesting with basketball, and I learned some more things on basketball that I hadn't heard as the Kyrie Irving, you know, trying to kill off the season stuff kicked in. But to get back to baseball for a second, all right, that's it. We're done talking. The players say, all right, that's it. We're done talking. Just tell us when and where. Like, oh, so you are. So not that we're going to kill off the season. Now you're saying we are going to go have a season.
We are going to have it at a prorated rate.
Yeah, but Major League Baseball could decide, the owners could decide not to do it at all, right?
Right. Well, I don't know.
And that's out there still,
I
guess.
It's in the collective bargaining agreement that if they can't, I guess, can't come to terms. Or...
Well, here's what I read. Major League Baseball could argue that they have a reasonable and have had a reasonable amount of time to get this resolved, and that Major League Baseball is intentionally not playing the amount of games that they could have played, that the Players Association are, and that they could decide to lock it out and say, no, nope, we're not doing a season now. Like Major League Baseball could, if they wanted to, shut this thing down.
Mm-hmm.
The owner side.
Well, I guess they could lock. I guess. I don't know. But apparently if they can't come to terms, then Rob Manfred can mandate a 48-game season. And the players, you're right. The players will say, okay, just tell us when and where we'll go. That's all. And how we're going to do this. And then all the testing takes all the stuff. And listen, and players are not going to be in a village like the NBA players are. It's not going to be nearly. There's going to be plenty of positive tests here. Plenty of positive tests here.
So you don't think they'll go on, or do you think they will?
I think that there probably will be some health concerns after, but not too long. Although Korean baseball seems to listen, Major League Baseball. I don't even give a rat's ass what Major League Baseball does. If you want to know the truth, I think they're a bunch of on both sides, babies, greedy millionaires and billionaires, and while Buster Olney couldn't have been more wrong, but I'm aiming this on Jeff Luhnow. He did talk about Tom Ricketts, the Cubs owner, worried about their cash flow, and the Cardinals owner worried about his money. No one gives a rat's ass about your money right now. No one cares.
John, you just hotted all of Major League Baseball. Rob Manfred has you feeling some type of way.
Me?
Rich, yeah. Johnny Kwan?
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm. You know what I am today? F baseball. That's what I am today.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, F baseball.
Boy, Golfy John is just swagging into work today.
You know,
like,
why?
Look at John's got his George Jefferson walk, his Ric Flair strut. He's got golf back, and now he's like, F baseball.
Did you see Daniel Berger and Colin Morikawa going at it in a playoff?
I saw it.
Yeah.
Both 15 under. One guy got – I was watching a little bit of the golf. I was watching bit of your golf, yeah.
Thank you, Dell. Did you watch all weekend?
I had over 68 and a half for –
Are you answering questions for me now?
Yes.
The answer is no.
Yeah. Not even to take a nap? I know Raheel likes to take a nap to golf.
Well, the Masters in particular. It's very calming.
See, Alvin Kamara repping – some Bubba Wallace stuff? He's into NASCAR now?
He said
now?
He would, as soon as that Confederate flag rule went into effect, he said, hey, let me know. I'll show up, and he did immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But back to your favorite sport, John.
Mm-hmm.
What happened, since you're the only one who watched?
Oh, well, we had a great tournament, actually. The guys were right there. Justin Rose misses a putt to get into the playoff. Colin Morikawa had a chance on 18 to win it. And he missed like about a 10-footer, but it wasn't a tough putt, a little right to left. Missed it.
I would have hit it.
Now let me continue, okay? Because it was spectacular. So on 17, Xander Schauffele misses a 2-footer. It rolls around the cup and out. And that would have set him one behind the leaders, and he's not able to birdie 18.
Jim Nantz almost vomited, by the way, when that happened.
I know. And how about the way Colin Mark?
Oh, my God. Cole Schauffele misses that. Just looked like it was going to dive in, and wow. Whoa, man.
Well, on the same hole in extra in the playoff, Colin Morikawa misses like a three and a half footer, and he just hit it too hard, and it went off the side and then ricocheted out. And on the same hole, Daniel Berger has two misses to make him the champion. Did you see him? He was a little tearful afterwards, and rightfully so. His third PGA win. And you know what? He's the first guy back. Who won the first tournament after the pandemic? That's right. Daniel Berger.
He'll be remembered for all of eternity or this week only, and that's it.
No, for all of eternity.
Daniel Berger. Oh, by the way. No one knows him. Is that the guy who was in Home Alone with Joe Pesci? Is it Daniel Berger? Is that his name?
Daniel Stern.
No.
Oh, yeah. See, I don't even remember anymore.
By the way.
It's over.
Do you want to know? Do you want to see? You want to? You guys are
going to freak out. Nickname Hamburger.
You guys are going to freak out, okay, at this. Daniel Berger has won three tournaments. They have all been on the second week of June. Mind blown.
You hear that sound effect with John's golf mind being blown?
Mm-hmm.
No, John, what was the thought about in terms of we had some very, very low scores, guys firing 63 at the course.
Patrick Reed had that on Friday.
Yeah, he had a Saturday. He fired a 63. There were some guys who went low yesterday. It was the winning score was a 15 under. What were the obviously the course wasn't the hardest course to score at, but was the thought that the golfers were in they didn't appear to be that rusty at all.
No, they weren't. We had Dal Finsterwald, who is the director of golf at Colonial on Saturday mornings on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, 8 to 9 right here on ESPN 97.5. And I asked him, I said, hey, they're going low out there. And he said, well, the course is pretty defenseless. These guys are long. The course isn't that long. And there's no wind. That's what protects the golf course, the Colonial, is the wind. And they didn't have any most of the weekend. Now, Justin Rose has shot 20 under there before. He shot 14 this week. But Bryson DeChambeau, he had an average. His second shot on par fours, I believe the first 2 days, or maybe it was just the second day, his average was like he had 106 yards to the hole, which is nothing, which is ridiculous how long he is. Now, speaking of Socha and McGuire, did you see Bryson DeChambeau this weekend?
So they said he has gained... So here's the thing. He's gone from a medium to an XL. Now, he has beefed up, and probably some of that is some quarantine 15, but at the same time, he's also been lifting and been – he just said he wanted to redo his body.
Yeah.
He's gained 40 pounds since he got into golf, like from his college days. But what did you – I don't see him enough to know, like
– oh, my God, dude. It's like – honestly, it looks like Barry Bonds – third world nation, and then Barry Bonds home run.
Did he look chubby at all to you, or just thick?
No, he's just thick. Okay. They said he was drinking 5 protein drinks a day.
For what?
And lifting like all day long. He added 15 to 20 yards to his drives. It's almost cartoonish how big he's gotten. When you see him, go take you find a picture of. It's almost cartoonish how big he is. And then Gary Woodland went the other way. He took off 20 pounds, and he was up there near the top two for most of the time until the very end. All right, John Clay Wolf is here. Speaking of big, it doesn't get any bigger than John Clay Wolf right here on ESPN 97.5. What's going on, John Clay Wolf?
Is Barry Bonds that guy that you saw in those memes during the COVID that was sitting there with...
No, that's a different guy.
No, that's not him. That's what's his name? Yeah.
Full of Super Bowls.
They call him Wood.
Wood. His name is Wood.
He loaded it with Super Bowls.
No.
Everybody's unemployed is to get somebody hired. I've been trying to hire office staff because, crazy enough, we've been growing during this weird time. Our product kind of like turned into toilet paper. I mean, everybody is wanting to use Give Me the VIN right now, and we need to hire more people, and everybody's making too much money on unemployment to want to work. So I don't know what to do.
Well, okay, so do you need people in Houston?
No, I need them in North Texas. I guess I'm going to have to open the Houston office or something. I need title clerks, logistics people.
if you want to move to our headquarters is in Fort Worth. I mean, I know I've been on this station for 11 years, but the actual headquarters of our office is in Fort Worth. We got about 120 people there, but I mean, these are $50,000 a year jobs. Titles, logistics, accounting, APAR, stuff like that. Just normal clerical office stuff. And I'm telling you, Granato, every single one I talk to that's qualified is on $1,100 a week. And why work for it when you can get it for free?
Yeah, no, that's true. Well, here's the deal. If you want to, where do they go? Where do they go? GiveMeTheVin.com to sign up?
Yeah, just go to GiveMeTheVin.com and click jobs if you're interested. If you have a friend up here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area that's interested, I'm definitely going to hire 10 people this week if I can round them up. But I don't want to – if they're on the – what do you call it over there, socialism program right now?
Mm-hmm.
It's a waste of time. I mean – would you want to go work somewhere if you were getting the same amount of money and getting to stay at home?
But that's going to end. So how about let's think long term?
And go I need to them now. I think they just extended it 13 weeks.
Wow.
Wow.
Let's just give money away.
Yeah. Give money away.
Deficit isn't enough.
We'll figure it out. But anyway, that's my message today. If anybody wants to work in Fort Worth, Texas for $50,000 a year and is good in an office, self-starter, not a big whiner, not somebody that's like sitting there bitching about a rounding error on their paid time off, and I mean those people drive me crazy. We really will take people that, you know, were kind of stuck in the side and advance them up to the front, make them managers. I mean, the lady that runs our whole company does not have a college degree and is a Hispanic, and she's the big boss. I mean, I don't give a hell what somebody's pedigree is. If they can do well, they go north in our company. So
go to GiveMeTheVin. That's what go GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Shortest breaks in the business, except when John Clay Wolf is on. 713-780-3776, although that is interesting. And you know what? That's happening all over. Is with all this money that keeps coming in from the government, it's real. I saw one restaurant said, Lance, that they had to pay, like, to their servers, that they usually give $3 and then they work on tips. They had to pay like $14 an hour just to get people back.
But then they're also not going to get the same tips because people are not going to there's not as many people coming in.
Well, yeah. Right. Places.
Well, the CARES Act gives you an extra $600 a week. It's like, wow. There are people walking around saying this is more – a lot of people are making more money not working and working. But restaurant people also tell you that this is like over now. So now once they offer your job, if you don't take it, it's going to be a personal choice that you are no longer employing. You're no longer employed by choice if they offer your job back. So some of that is going to go away. The problem is we got a spike right now, so – hopefully we just keep, you know, we can also flatten the curve right now, just make good choices, maybe don't take some of the chances you were before, wear your mask, all that stuff, let's keep the hospital beds. Then there will be some natural herd immunity like they have in New York right now. so, I don't know, now might be the time you just make some, the smart choices you were making a month ago, a month and a half ago, maybe go back to making some of those and then eventually we can open it up more. It's weird. It's crazy. Last Monday at this time, I think I was arguing for the fact that we were going to see a minimum of 50% at football stadiums and maybe even at baseball stadiums, 30%, 40%. And then after this massive quick aggressive spike. We had Memorial Day spike, opening, you know, the opening of economy spike. We are now in the middle of some of the protests spike. I mean, there's an overlap from a time frame standpoint. So you're going to see our you're going to see it expand for us. Although I went to the protest and I've never, that's far enough along that I should have, if I had it, I would have hatched, you know what I meant? I would have shown signs by now and I haven't. So, you could still, you could have still been safe there like I was and my son was. So, but yeah, we're going to have our spike and we're going to get through that. But have you noticed, I don't know about you, John, I think it's completely changed. I think the mindset of all these people in stands and stadiums just a week ago, it feels way different in our state right now just in 1 week.
Yeah. Oh, well, you're talking about people going out?
Congregations and big events at a sporting event. It doesn't feel as likely now as it did.
I think ever since the protest, everybody was like, well, it's over. It's over.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't see I don't see Texas right now to say, oh, yeah, we'll have 50% in the stands. Right now, that doesn't feel feasible right now. But because this is so fluid, let's see what happens in 3 weeks, how it feels. But I'm just pointing out myself, last Monday, I would have told you, oh, yeah, we're definitely on the way to having people in the stands. And then right now, based on our reality right now, it's like, whoa, no, no, no. We don't need anyone in the stands right now. So it's fluid. Every 3 weeks, there's a new, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of fluid every 3 weeks.
I think by September, by October, September, we saw fans in the stands at the NASCAR race. That's how Alvin Kamara got to go. He was there. He was in the stands. They were separated. There was like, they didn't even look like 25%. I don't know how many people they let in. But it certainly didn't look like it was.
I still think you can do 25% easily anywhere. I think that's very viable.
Yeah.
As far as the attendance, they allow just 1,000, this ad came up, 1,000 first responders into, I don't know how.
And running backs. First responders and running backs.
He's the first to respond to a blitzing linebacker.
Oh, yeah.
Picking up a blitz. But
A-gap blitz, yeah.
Allow 1,000 fans, and they're all first responders. And Alvin Kamara. He was probably a guest, special guest of Bubba.
Oh, Alvin's, that's great advertising for NASCAR.
Do you think NASCAR people are like, you see that guy with the septum piercing? He's one of our guys.
I'm just saying it's different.
It's definitely different.
It's different. But, you know, that's a good thing. That's okay to have some diversity in the sport. There are black racing fans. There are.
That's true.
It's regional. Yeah. It's more it's a big regional thing.
And guess what? Now they I hope they feel like they can go to the races now. They
during
feel
a pandemic.
More right. Or whatever. I got a story here about number of returning about continuity. NFL teams continuity. So it includes offensive snaps returning, defensive snaps returning, starters returning, non-coordinator assistants returning, coordinators returning, starting QB returning, and head coach returning. The team that is the worst in the league as far as number of returning is Carolina Panthers.
Yeah,
they
have an overhaul.
They have only 46.9% of snaps returning. Complete overhaul. And they've got a new starting quarterback. They've got a new head coach. They've got one out of 20 assistants returning, one out of three coordinators returning, and that's the special teams coach. And they've only got 13 starters returning. It doesn't. You know, and here's the thing: is I've got this list, but I'd like to see in years past how this translates to wins and losses. You've got to figure, right? Or do you think in some cases? I would imagine in some cases it's better. You get rid of a bad coach, he overhauls the program, the organization, and now all of a sudden you guys are going to be better.
Who lacks continuity? Teams in flux. Teams who are making massive changes.
Bad.
Teams who are dropping. The teams who have continuity already have something working in their favor, typically, and so they're more likely to have more wins right on the heels of that, or at least show a level of consistency. Teams in flux, though, you really could see a team get better because they probably were on the low end. That's why there was so much change.
Right.
Texans
right.
actually have
right.
had some
so
change.
They'll be better because and have a higher winning percentage because they must have been poor to have all these changes. Correct. That's what I think too. New York Giants are second to last. Cowboys third to last. 66.5% of snaps returning. They have lost 29% of their offense.
Yeah,
they lost 39% of their defense.
And a coaching change.
And the coaching change as well, right. New England, 67.1% of snaps returning. That's fourth to worst. And you could certainly see them falling because they lost their one of the key ingredients in Tom Brady. So it depends. Like it certainly the Browns have lost a lot.
Hey.
They lost. They only have 68% of their snaps returning.
Real quick, I want to because we've lost a couple calls during the time. I want to make sure we get Will in here. So let me get Will in because I think he's got an interesting topic before we get to a break. What's up, Will?
Hey, good morning, Lance and John. A big fan of the show, a longtime listener.
Thanks, Will.
So just want to get your thoughts on this. I mean, I know Lance, you do follow the EPL. The English Premier League, so they will be kicking off on Wednesday. I can't remember when Everton plays. I'm a Man City guy. But I know we're all, you know, chomping at the bit to watch some live sports. But the Spanish League and the Portuguese First League had actually all started this past week. And they're playing something like 110 games in like 40 days. So right now, if you're a pretty big soccer fan like us, like I am, it's actually an excellent time because there's some more games today, and I've been getting my Bovada on, so it's been quite fun.
Well, hold on. You have any plays for us, Will? Because if you do good, it may need to be a daily call.
I'll have to double-check. I haven't checked the lines today, but I did really well with Barcelona scoring 4 the other day against Mallorca. And then Real Madrid covered the spread yesterday against, I think, Sporting Deportivo Ibar. So, and I wanted to get y'all's thoughts on this too. So obviously, when was it? Last week when Wojnarowski broke that the NBA is quote-unquote back, but they're not going to be playing until July 31st. I just thought, honestly, I mean, really, I think, by July 31st, I'm in full NFL mode. I mean, I have season tickets to the Texans as well, which they've already charged me for the full season, even though I doubt I'm going to be able to go. But I just want to get y'all's thoughts on that. I'm saying we're literally a month and a half out, almost 2 months out from the NBA starting. So I'm going to be completely in a different mindset by then. Just want to get y'all's thoughts on that. I mean, the Bundesliga, for example, they gave their players a 2-week notification before they went back to playing games. And they've been playing games since May 15th. But I'll hang up and listen, guys. Y'all keep up the great work. Y'all stay safe.
2 weeks seems like not enough unless you knew everyone was staying in shape. I would say I don't really care that NBA starts July 31st. Even if it's into August, these are different times. I'll be paying attention to the NBA 100% because it's also the most important time. It's playoff time. So if your argument is, well, the only thing that matters in the NBA is playoffs, wake me up when the playoffs are here. Well, the playoffs are here, and it just happens to be, you know, in August. So, yeah, I think people are going to be paying attention. I'll be honest when I tell you I have concerns about the NFL starting on time. And I heard once again that there is a belief the NFL will be pushed back a month, that there are people inside of football who believe that starting on time in September or even with preseason games is a bit of a reach. So we'll see if they keep their schedule as anticipated.
All right, 8:46 ESPN, 97.5. Time to talk about Chastang Ford. Time to talk about your vehicle. Time to talk about time. The pandemic is worse now. We're in Harris County. You not want to go to the dealership, that's fine, because you can do it all online. But you could always do it all online at Chastang Ford because they weren't worried about you buying online. They're not like the other dealerships that they have to upsell you on everything. No, you're right online. One of the first things that they'll ask you is what your payments need to be at. And right now your payments can be so low because first you got 6 months off. that you don't have to make payments. Second, you got 7 years of interest free. So you spread these payments without any interest over 7 years, and your payments can be exactly where you need them to be. You might be choking on your payments right now because you're out of work or whatever the case, because the money's tighter, whatever the case may be. Go to ChastainFord.com and see for yourself. And they'll even they'll sanitize the car and deliver it to you. Or if you need service, they will pick up your car, fix it, sanitize it, and bring it back to you. If you're afraid of going into the dealership, that's fine. Now, the dealership is clean, sanitized, and they do wonderful social distancing at Chastain Ford, so you can go there as well. ChastainFord.com or on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown, two exits east of 59. It's Chastain Ford.
ESPN 97.5 is more talk and less commercials, which means more sports talk for you.
That's awesome.
That's just sick.
However, it does mean less pee time for the hosts.
I can't hold it in anymore.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be fine with this. ESPN 97.5.
There's a little pee coming out of me right now.
Ew.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Hall of Fame, Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Before I was interrupted to talk about Bundesliga, we were talking about the NFL and snaps returning. Okay? And your Texans are up there. Now, the Buffalo Bills are number one. Most snap, they got 96% of their offensive starters return. They've got most of their returning starters. They've got 95%, 80% of their defense returning. So the Bills, with continuity, with their head coach coming back, with their quarterback coming back, they're the favorite in the AFC East. The Chiefs are second. Of course, everybody wants to come back to the Chiefs, right? And they've got most of their assistants, 22 out of 23, all three coordinators. They got their head coach. They've got their quarterback back. That they're going to be good. The Colts are next, Lance. They do change their starting quarterback.
Yeah.
But you figure you have to chase the Colts as the favorite in the AFC South?
No, the Colts aren't. The Titans are the favorite.
Oh, you got them.
I think the Titans should be the favorite.
You got them winning the division?
Yeah. If I gun to my head, I'd probably make the Titans. Well, I mean, they added DeForest Buckner. It's either the Colts or Titans to me. Yes.
I'm just worried about Phillip Rivers. I don't know. The 49ers are next. Look at all these good teams up at the top. The Steelers are next. Ben Roethlisberger is back, which makes them better. In some instances, a quarterback change will make you worse. In this instance, Ben coming back makes them much better. And by the way, I just got to give big ups to Mike Tomlin again. They fought and scrapped, and they actually won football games without their starting quarterback and with a guy named Duck or something, whatever his name is. And they were still in the mix to get a playoff spot. This year, with an extra playoff team, they would have made the playoffs. And I think that says something about them. When Deshaun went down, how'd the Texans look? Yeah. The Texans are sixth. They've got 79.5% of their snaps returning. 83.3 offense, 75.7 defense, 20 starters returning, 9 offense, 8 defense, and 3 special teams. They've got Tim Kelly, who was the coordinator last year, but I think he's going to take it, obviously, hopefully he takes a bigger role. All but two of their assistants. They've got Deshaun and they got Bill O'Brien. The turnover came with DeAndre, obviously, Brandon Cooks and David Johnson. You know, I don't think, you know, Carlos Hyde was just fine, but Carlos Hyde was kind of a retread as well. I don't think you're losing anything from David Johnson, if he can stay healthy. As a matter of fact, a rejuvenated David Johnson, which hopefully he will be, might be better.
I don't know, man. Carlos Hyde was good at what he did, which is bang and set a tone. I thought Carlos Hyde was really – I liked what I saw from Carlos Hyde. I got to tell you, and I don't think David Johnson is that kind of between-the-tackles, aggressive runner. He is kind of a – he's more of a gap scheme runner than a zone scheme runner. So he does have that going for him here in Houston because Bill O'Brien has shown that he can go to – you know, he implemented more zone scheme for Lamar Miller. That was not initially what he wanted to do. But Duke is a good pass catcher. That's I don't know. We'll see. I mean, we'll see. David Johnson may even though I don't like the money they took on for David Johnson, I think they could have found another back. If all things work great and he returns to his form from 4 years ago or whatever, it is nice to have a running back who is a three down back. You know, that's always nice to have.
No, absolutely. And here's the deal: I think with Bill O'Brien is you plug in Lamar Miller, a totally different style of runner than Carlos Hyde. He had 1,000 yards, 888. He had 973. And Carlos Hyde comes in here. He has 1,000 yards. You know what? David Johnson's going to come here. It wouldn't surprise me at all if David Johnson doesn't have 1,000 yards. Not in the least.
I'm going that's under. I'm making 740 yards.
I'm going over.
Okay.
I'm going over. Now, that's, God willing, stays healthy. We'll see.
That's your choice.
But right. I mean that obviously makes it more difficult. But if he does stay healthy, let's say he plays 14 games, he's going to be close to 1,000 yards.
Okay. Over under yardage: Will Fuller 700, David Johnson 800. Which one would you rather bet the over?
I think more likely David Johnson because running backs in this offense they eat. Running backs in this offense. Lamar Miller was skates. Lamar Miller
was
small, and he gained his worst year was over 800 yards.
Right, that's true.
So I'm going to go that. I can't count on Will Fuller. But I'm interested to see. I would love to see if continuity really means something in the NFL. If I could certainly see teams that had to have huge turnovers rate because they have new coaches, I could certainly see them getting better because they were bad, and that's why they had to get a new coach. But I wonder if teams that are at the top, at the very top, continue to play well because they have continuity. And let's face it, the Texans have played well. The Texans have won four divisions in Bill O'Brien's 6 years. They have been a good football team. So with Deshaun and with Deshaun coming back and all of these guys coming back, you would think that they can be a good football team again. Maybe we're not giving them enough credit. We're saying Titans, Colts. What about the team that wins the division every year?
I can't even pay attention to you now because I saw Tommy Stark's tweet.
I know, right?
The massage tweet. I'm done. What do we go to now? What do I do here? You think I can do anything with your, if we can get away to running backs and like, what? I can't operate now when he sent a picture of
a
girl taking a selfie of her getting her massage.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not dirty or anything like that.
Well, you do see a glimpse of a butt.
Yeah, there's a buttock in it.
Yeah, this is the same girl Yannette Garcia became internet famous because she was a weather or traffic woman. Don't remember which one, but she had a profile. She wore the short skirts. She had that profile when she turned to the side. She's also the girl or woman who got dumped by an e-gamer because he needed more time to play games.
Oh, what?
That's the same woman. Yeah.
See, that's why you punk ass kids need to stop. Y'all need to stop. I saw a report yesterday. Men between the age of 18 and 24 it's in the rundown that we got for the day, like 33% less sex now than 10 years ago. Like,
why is that?
Man, y'all some.
Did they give reasons for it?
Yeah, because they're probably in playing video games.
Hmm.
Nerdy ass. Y'all could be out there smashing. Instead, y'all just nerdy.
Hey.
Nerdy AF. Yes.
Relax.
They could be.
Dale, you play video games, and you prefer to get the granny next door, right?
I don't play video games.
You don't?
No, I don't, actually.
At all?
Nope.
Really?
Now, change your narrative, sir.
Wow, my narrative is screwed up on you.
Yeah, thank you.
I thought you were in there going, you don't play at all?
No.
Do you have a video game system?
It's not even plugged in, but I do have one.
But you stopped playing. How long ago?
I haven't played a video game probably in at least 4 years.
Wow.
Wow.
I hung on a little bit because
I did too.
But
once
NCAA got discontinued, I was pretty much out. NCAA football. I will admit if it ever comes.
That was 14 though, right?
Yeah.
The last year.
I hung on for a couple more years, but after that I was done. If it ever came back, I'd probably play. Now the new PlayStation 5 is like maybe $700. So
I saw that
just came out.
Yeah.
So thankfully, if a game isn't coming out very soon, so maybe the price will be reduced by the time if we ever get a college football game, and I might buy it. But other than that, I'm out. No video games for me.
Well, I tell you what is back, and that is SiteJab. And it's a company who I started telling you about before the pandemic, and they're back now. They've been busy working with companies who have really shifted what they're doing from in the office to online. And for business owners, when's the last time that you upgraded your website? Because now it might be more important than ever. If it's been over 2 years, you are due for an update, and do it with a local company. We're supporting local here in Houston. We need to support our local economy. But these guys are local. Hector and his team have been building websites for over 20 years. And the biggest benefit, I think, of having a local company build is that they can customize your website with their great customer service. And you can email them. You can get in-person or Zoom consultations with them so that as you're going, I had somebody outside of the city working on develop a project for me that was more coding related, and it was outside of the state, right? It's so hard when you cannot get the in-person consultation, and that's what SiteJab is doing for you. Let the pros handle your website. 80% of your customers are going to check out your website before making a purchase, and if your site is old or outdated, you're going to lose that lead. Get with SiteJab. They're providing over $500 in Google ads to every new website in the month of July, or rather in the month of July. You can call for details and get a great-looking website and new business out of their incredible online marketing services. It's a win-win situation for you. And ESPN 97.5 listeners who've been using SiteJab for years, you've got a chance to get a customized website in just 3 to 6 weeks. Call today, 713-999-4641, 713-999-4661, or visit SiteJab, SiteJab, JAB.com.
Well, hello!
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
It's 10:01 a.m. on a Monday, all at once. Your sales leader needs to know which deals are at risk, your PM wants feature adoption by cohort, and your CFO needs one last graph for the board. Now your data team has to say no to somebody. Hex changes that. Ask any data question in plain English and get an analyst-grade response, all backed by your actual business context as defined by your data team. Start saying yes to more data questions at hex.ai.